So if someone came up to you after service and asked you, who is God? How would you answer? Where would you even start to answer? You could start the way the Bible does. If you start reading that new Bible, right at the beginning, you'll find the story of creation. You'll learn about God making the world out of nothing, molding people out of the dust of the earth. And you'd say, well, God likes to make stuff. Or maybe to describe God, you might start with the church. Describe what we do as the body of Christ, God at work in the world today. Loving, caring for our neighbors. We're going to talk about God's work, our hands, God working through us. Or I suppose you could start with some sort of deep philosophical argument about how God is the spark of life in the universe, the source and root of all life, the unmoved mover, and go from philosophy. Or you could do what Jesus does, and you could start with some stories. Today's gospel from Luke says, Jesus told them this parable. Do you know what a parable is? For those of you who just got a Bible, this is an important word to know. A parable is not a pair of two male cows. I should put that on a slide. A parable is a story. A parable is a story with a point. Something Jesus makes up to tell us something about God, who God is, what God's kingdom is like. And so today we hear two parables from Jesus, two stories about what God is like. And in these parables, we learn that God is really good at hide and seek. God seeks out the lost. God cares for individual people. And that's not a bad place to start when we're trying to describe who God is. So first, there's a story about a shepherd who has 100 sheep, but one of them gets lost, wanders away, and instead of abandoning that sheep, the shepherd leaves the rest of his flock behind and goes out to look for the one that wandered away. And then when he finds it, he carries it home and he even throws a party to celebrate. And in this parable, you and I are sometimes the 99 sheep, the flock, who are incomplete because someone's missing. But at some point, each of us in this story is the one that wanders away, right? And so this story shows a God who comes and searches for you when you wander. No matter how far you've strayed away, God still searches for you. Not to punish you or trap you, but to pick you up and to carry you back where you belong. The interesting thing about these parables is the question Jesus asks at the beginning, I think. He says, which of you, if you were missing a sheep or a coin, would leave everything else behind to find it? And honestly, I think most of us probably wouldn't. 99 sheep is still a pretty good-sized flock, right? You wouldn't want to risk losing the other 99 and just ending up with the one or something. When I heard this story, I used to picture the shepherd leaving the 99 safely locked up in a pen, or maybe loaning them to a neighbor shepherd to watch. Can you come over and watch my flock for me while I go look for the one that wandered away? But if you look more closely at the verse, it turns out the shepherd really is taking a risk here. So look at verse 4. Do you see where he leaves the 99? In the wilderness. The shepherd is willing to risk everything for the sake of the one who has gone missing. And that is powerful. Now, I would probably spend a few minutes searching for a coin that's missing, especially if it's 10% of what I have. But when I find it, I'm hardly going to throw a party, right? The woman here probably spends as much money entertaining her friends and neighbors as she did by finding the coin. And so what does that tell us about God? Well, it tells us that God rejoices over each of us. God's love is extravagant, and it's irrational. It doesn't make sense to us. God is much better at loving than you or I could ever be. These parables tell us that you matter to God. It's really easy sometimes to get overwhelmed by everything going on in life, that we think that our little piece of the universe, our little lives have no significance. How many people do you think have lived in the last 2,000 years since Jesus told this parable? Anybody got a guess? How many people have lived in the last 2,000 years? Someone take a guess. How many? 5 billion, much higher. Go up. Any more? 10 trillion? The best estimate that I could find was 55 billion people have lived in the last 2,000 years, and there's about 7.8 alive today. And among those 7.8 billion people, among those 55 billion, God cares about you. God does not need you to wear a name tag to remember who you are. God knows your name. Whether you're royalty or the head of a church and your death makes global news, or you're a pauper living in a hut, God rejoices over you. The shepherd does not get upset in the story at the sheep after finding it. The shepherd doesn't blame it for wandering off. The shepherd rejoices. The shepherd's joy overcomes any sadness or worry or shame or guilt. This parable is a picture of God's grace, God's love. And here's the thing. Most of us probably wander off more than once. I don't think it's an accident that Jesus compares us to sheep. Sheep are not the brightest animals in the world. Their only real defense as predators is to stick together in a herd, and yet they wander off. They need a shepherd to take care of them. This is my favorite example of a shepherd caring for a sheep. Watch this. The audio for it's not in English, so I can't tell what the shepherd's saying as he follows it. But how often do we do that, right? How often does God rescue us, pull us up, call us back from wherever we've gone, and then we turn right around and we do it again? We follow a God who is persistent, a God who does not give up on us, who never grows tired of looking for us and pursuing us to bring us back home. God does not say, okay, I guess you can come in. I suppose I'll go to the effort of looking for you again, but then you'll be on probation for a while until you've made it up. And if you mess up again, boy. No, you do not owe more to God because you sinned more, because God had to look harder for you. All of us are in the same boat, or rather the same flock. All of us are here because God has gone out looking for us and brought us back home. Some of us grew up in church and came back after confirmation and even kept watching during COVID when there were no services to go to. And it can be tempting to think that, you know, I'm really part of the 99. We've really got it figured out. We're somehow better than those who wandered away. On some level, we all ought to know that we are the ones who have wandered away, the ones the shepherd came looking for and brought back to the flock. And yet it's still tempting to pretend that we don't wander. In fact, the very next story Jesus tells in the same chapter is the story of the prodigal son who leaves home, and then when he returns, he's welcomed back by the father. But in that story, there's an older brother who gets upset that grace is shown to the one who left, that the father still seems to love him just as much as the one who stayed. How do you think the 99 felt when the shepherd left to come and came back with the one? Beloved of God, don't give in to that temptation. I am really, truly convinced in this story, the character Jesus intends us to identify with are the lost sheep, and the lost coin. Later in the story, in Luke 19, Jesus will say, "The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." We are the lost who have been found. In 1 Timothy, Paul uses himself in this letter as an example, as the proof of God's seeking and finding. And if you know Paul's story from the book of Acts, you know that he's not exaggerating when he says that he was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor, a man of violence. And yet, Jesus did not give up on him. without even waiting for him to change his ways and stop sinning and repent. Jesus met him on the road, interrupted his life, sought him out. And that's an important point, I think, in these parables. The sheep does not decide to get found. It does not hear an inspirational sermon and decide to come forward and accept the shepherd as its personal Lord and Savior. Maybe it recognizes it's lost and starts looking for the rest of the flock, but it does not come back on its own. All the sheep does is wander away, fall in a hole, whatever it is, and then get found. It's the shepherd who does all the work. And that's even more clear in that second parable, right? A missing coin is an inanimate object. There's literally nothing that a missing coin can do to get found. It has no capacity to jump up and roll on its own. This isn't like Toy Story or something. The coin's only hope is that the woman is looking for it. The coin's only hope is that there is someone out there who thinks that it is worth finding. And as Lutherans, we confess with Martin Luther that it is the Holy Spirit who calls us to faith. Even when we think that we are doing something to get closer to God, it's always the Holy Spirit working in us, working on us. It's always God doing the work. We are saved by God's grace, not by anything that we do. And if you deserved it, it wouldn't be grace. Grace is freely given, undeserved, given simply because God wants to give it, because God wants to love you. And so, beloved of God, hear this promise. God's grace is for you. God thinks that you are worth seeking and finding. God rejoices over finding you. Once you were lost and now you are found. And there will be times in the future when you get lost again. There will be times when you go chasing after some greener grass somewhere else and you wander away. Or maybe when times when you feel like you slipped and rolled away under a cabinet or something. That's okay. Because you belong to Jesus. And Jesus never grows tired of seeking you. Jesus never gives up on you. And when one sinner repents, when the lost are found, there is joy in heaven. Amen.